The following program is brought to you by Susty Party, an online party supply store for eco-friendly party products and biodegradable compostable tableware. For more information, visit sustyparty.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Let's Eat In. It's a nice little Monday, brisk Monday in Brooklyn, and I'm your host, Kathy Arway. This is Heritage Radio Network, and we're here in Bushwick at Roberta's Pizza, which is thankfully not affected by Hurricane Sandy. Doesn't look like it, except for the lack of too many customers because the L train isn't working. And my deepest condolences to all those businesses that were much, much, much less fortunate. And you've been hearing their stories all throughout the week from our host Jack here and everyone here at Heritage Radio Network. So stay tuned and hear how they're progressing and how they're faring. And you know, keep up with volunteer efforts that are going on throughout the city. Many opportunities to help out. So today on the brighter side, we're talking with wonderful artisanal almond and cashew milk makers. We've got Greg and Julie Van Olen. Van Olen, and their company is called O Milk. Hey guys.
Hey. Hey, how you doing? I want to just quickly reiterate what Kathy said. If you are up and running, anyone out there who isn't having too much trouble, do support your local businesses and whatnot. Not a self-serving comment at all, but just those who can.
Julie was talking a little bit off air about the guilt of being fine.
Yeah, the survivor's guilt.
The survivor's guilt. Yeah. So I'm feeling that too, because nothing really happened to me. Why did you decide to go into, because you guys are a husband and wife team, yep. And you started O Milk how long ago?
A year and a month.
So this has been, October, and yeah. Let me tell you, folks, if you have tried almond milk once and hated it or thought it was fine, so, whatever, you have got to try theirs and their cashew milk, because it is really, really good. It was life-changing, actually. Uh-oh. It was a game changer for me. Wow. And
thank you.
I've never tasted anything like that. It was so clean and pure. And I'm sure you guys are going to get into why that's done. But first of all, why nut milks? Why did you decide to get into that? Is that what they're supposed to be called?
Yeah,
by the way?
Nut milks. Yeah. It makes me laugh every time anyone says it. Still, but that is what they're called. Yeah,
it really leads itself to a lot of entendres.
Yeah,
it's hard to come up with. Avoid that one. Nut milks.
No, we embrace the nut milks. Although, as we were trying to figure out a company name, we tried to steer away from Greg and Julie's luscious nut milks and things like that.
This is like, I feel like that episode of Saturday Live, like Shweddy's balls.
Shweddy balls.
This nut milk is very tasty.
Can't wait to put your Shweddy balls in my mouth.
Okay, so you're all right with that.
All right. Nice. Yeah, we are. It comes with the territory.
Oh my gosh.
It's a good start.
Yeah. So is that why? What prompted? No, just kidding. What made you?
totally by accident. Mm-hmm. I mean, we love good food. We hate food that sucks and doesn't taste good and isn't raised right. But all that aside, the starting of O Milk was a complete accident and was born because I was making it at home in order to try to lose weight for our wedding. Mm. Something that was kind of, I don't know,
crafty.
Creamy. This is going to all sound dirty now, but something that it was kind of satisfying and rich, but not fattening, because I'm one of those people that has to have a cookie or a piece of cake or something at 3 o'clock every day. So
you want to wash that down with a nice milk or something. Yeah.
Well, I actually replaced it with the milk.
The cashew
mm-hmm. milk, which is the same recipe that's still out on the market now, is a little bit sweet, unfiltered, so it almost has like a milkshake-like consistency. So it was really satisfying, but healthy. And started bringing it to work, and people wanted to try the milk, and it was surprising how many people that are, you know, self-proclaimed carnivores and things that wanted to have some.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then really quickly, I think the next step was that we got married, which was fun, right?
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. And you so had, far, so good.
You had a good figure for the wedding.
Really good. Almost a little too much weight lost for that. But we go crazy, girls, with the wedding. But then after the wedding, because we're incredibly frenetic people, we said, you know, why don't we try to make something and sell it at a market? And then we said, well, how about that milk? That milk is good. People like it. And so we applied to, what was the first?
DeKalb Market. Yeah.
This is so recently. Well, I feel like they just, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it was last September, 2011. Yeah, we applied and didn't hear back at all from them. And so, you know, we don't quit.
They don't like us. You're out there, DeKalb Market. Yeah. Screw
no,
you.
So they didn't reply. And so we thought, well, you know, now we'll look into it. And so we hit Brooklyn Flea. Mm-hmm. And they had us come in and do the demo, I guess it would be called. The audition.
It
there
is.
You go.
It's like an audition. Yeah. And those guys rock. They know what's out there. They know what's good. And I remember they loved it. And they said to me, we love this. We have no idea how it's going to do. Mm-hmm. But let's try it.
Nice.
So you want to talk about how our first day was?
We went to Brooklyn Flea and we figured if we sold one, but we had a couple friends coming, if we sold one bottle to people that weren't friends, that it was going to be a smashing success. And I think we brought like 80 bottles of varying sizes and we sold out.
Wow.
And so we got drunk and in celebration.
Wow.
And hit the town with all our milk money.
Wow.
That we made, and
it was just so cool.
It's awesome to see people. We didn't know, as non-vegetarians, you know, we just made this because we liked it, how many people wanted a high quality dairy alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of surprising. It's like we found this white space in the market that we weren't looking for.
I don't think anyone could know, because I don't know of anyone else who's making small batch artisanal almond or cashew milk.
No, it's really, I think, like a lot of successful small businesses, born out of a need in the marketplace. And there is nothing like it out there.
Yeah, you guys are like at the very ground zero of this industry.
Yeah, and I think that what makes us special too, and we can kind of talk more about it too, is that we all, kind of coming back to the fact that we don't like food that tastes shitty, that we made something that is that kind of perfect place of health and taste. The flavor of our products is, for lack of a better word, curated, because we don't make an unsweetened version and a really sweetened version or a somehow low-fat version or something. We make what is delicious and also healthful. So our almond milk has very little sweetener in it. We use raw organic agave, but it has 2 grams per serving, which is very little, but it helps mimic the lactose that you would find in dairy milk. So it all kind of works together to help get it, to help get people who might not normally drink almond milk or nut milks to enjoy it, because it doesn't suck.
Yeah, and it's kind of its own category too. You know, it's not like a lot of people tend to think of soy milk as a replacement or substitute for dairy. I guess, you know, if you're a vegan or lactose intolerant or whatever, you can see that as making sense. But I think your product shows that it's really a separate, unique ingredient in its own, and it's a different category. I mean, it tastes totally different. I mean, it's similar in some ways, but to me, it's a different animal.
Or lack thereof.
Well, and you're talking about a bit about some of the benefits of it, and it's a raw milk product. I mean, a raw nut product that you guys create.
Yeah.
And the raw food, and these have certain benefits, right?
Well, we don't... Yep. It's lowercase r raw and not capital R raw, because if you know raw food diet, I think it's 118 degrees that the food can't go over.
Mm-hmm.
Organic almonds are by law in the U.S. pasteurized to 150 something.
Okay.
And then cashews are steamed open. So everything's heated. All the ingredients are heated at one point.
But you didn't pasteurize the milk after.
But we don't do anything to it. Once we... you know, make it. It is a, it's flash chilled, it's unpasteurized, and right. it's raw.
And fresh. Fresh, so, yeah. And I think that's the biggest taste difference that I was able to get. That you taste that it wasn't heated in and then, you know, processed after you guys turned this thing into milk. So it tastes good.
Yeah, like other more commercially found almond milks are kind of brown in mm-hmm. color. And they, to me, taste brown. They mm-hmm. taste cooked. And there's a huge difference. I mean, that's one of the many differences, I think, in flavor between a fresh nut milk and what you might find commercially out there right now, is that it does have this really clean, fresh, delicious yeah. flavor.
Mm-hmm. You just have to taste it to see it. I don't know how else to describe it. But now I know everyone's wondering, maybe it's just me, but can you make ice cream with these almond and cashew milk?
Yeah, it's easier to make it with the cashew milk. Because
it just has
a different texture. It's more, yeah, it's creamier, freezes better. We would probably need to up the nut ratio mm-hmm. to really get something
for the almond perfect. Because almonds are less fatty.
They're, what is it?
It's actually not true. No? It's actually cashews have a little bit less fat than almonds.
I thought when you eat them, like the nut is less fatty, no?
No, and it's raw cane. Wow. Very close, though.
Oh, okay.
I mean, really close, and different qualities of fats. You know, like cashews have a certain amount of omega-3s, whereas almonds don't.
That's
but
good.
The fat in almonds helps you process other fats throughout the day. You know, really different makeup, but similar fat content.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the hate from, like, substitution of soy milks, almond milks, or whatever, versus dairies, that people are trying to compare and, like, oh, this doesn't have calcium or enough calcium or yeah. enough protein or whatever, but it has omega-3 or it has its own whatever natural things are inherent in the nuts.
And it does also have calcium, and it does also have protein. And if people are used to looking at the nutritional paneling on the back of commercial almond milk, that doesn't really have any protein, and that kind of goes...
Really?
Yeah, and it kind of goes to the question that I wonder why more people don't ask, which is what the hell is in it if there's no protein and there's no fat and there's 60 calories a serving? You know, the healthy part of nuts are the calories
what
and the fat.
Is it?
What is it? Right. Why aren't people asking that? But it's really mostly, yeah, stabilizers and water. And that's another thing. We don't use any stabilizers. So when you get the product, you have
xanthan.
To shake it up. Yeah, mm-hmm. no xanthan, not even any more natural ones like carrageenan. We don't use anything.
And you guys sweeten it with some agave nectar?
Yeah, raw organic agave. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, but you have some fun flavors that you've been sampling out at the Brooklyn Flea, which I got to try recently, a nut pumpkin flavored.
Yep.
Is that your invention, Julie? Because you're like,
no,
yeah.
no, I'm just, oh. I'm gung-ho like, about
Julie,
it. Because I like
is the flavor idea generator.
I
that's
love
okay.
pumpkin
can,
spice things. It's great.
Yeah, it was really good. And it had cinnamon, it like flecks on the bottom, and you shake it up. Yeah, that was good.
Cinnamon, clove, ginger, allspice, and nutmeg.
Are you going to make an eggnog version this holiday season? I don't know what that
we're
means.
Not gonna,
it's like the same spices,
well,
right?
Close. Okay. We did make an eggnog mixer last year and mm-hmm. sold it at Brooklyn Flea. We also made a chocolate candy cane almond milk, so a mint
peppermint?
Chocolate. Yeah.
Ooh.
A little vanilla and mostly peppermint. It was really nice.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So we're probably going to bring those two back, and we're in talks with some stores to do some like a proprietary flavor for them for just the holidays. So it'll probably be either the eggnog mixer or the chocolate candy cane one, but certainly follow us on Twitter and Facebook where we talk about that.
Okay.
We do chai in the probably do chai in the back half of the winter.
That's a good one. And they also make a great coffee, cold brewed coffee mixed with their almond milk.
Yeah,
milk.
And it's the beans are from Toby's estate up in Williamsburg, so mm-hmm. we tried to keep it
local. Yeah, and it is
the beans are not from Brooklyn, but they roast them.
They roast them in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and that one is commercially available. So the ones that's one of the flavors that you can get in stores along with our cashew and almond milk. And the cashew milk is kind of flavored in its essence. We call it cashew classic, and it has Madagascar vanilla bean, Chinese cinnamon in it. So the cashew milk in itself is already a delicious kind of drink on its own, flavored, you know, beverage. Yeah. But whereas the almond milk is really just
pure.
Yeah.
Cool. So a little bit about where else we can find your product. So it's, you know, the Brooklyn Flea Saturdays, right?
And that's just for a couple. We don't do when it goes indoors. But they're great outdoors. We do a home delivery business, which is fun. We are at the Union Market stores. We are at Foragers. We are at Dean and DeLuca. We are Whole Foods Tribeca, and hopefully a couple more shortly. We just kind of started that relationship, and they're great. But yeah, those are the stores for now. But
cool, all in a year and a half. This is really exciting.
And we also do home delivery. We do this wonderful nostalgic show up at your door.
And they actually show up at your door.
We do.
It's like a telegram of like Greg and Julie.
Sometimes.
And you're all
we do have a couple of great other people, but we are out there.
Are you going to wear like elf hats in this winter? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's an excellent idea.
I don't know. That would be fun.
I think you're onto something.
I'm a marketing genius, by the way.
You're hired.
You should hire me. Okay. I think we need to cut to a quick little commercial interlude and musical interlude, and we'll be right back chatting more with Greg and Julie from O Milk.
And I'm Jessica Holsey.
We are the entrepreneurs behind Susty Party. Susty Party creates responsibly made, eco-friendly party supplies and compostable tableware. Parties and events generate the second largest amount of waste in the USA, just behind the construction industry. Susty Party products make parties more sustainable and sustainability a little more fun.
Susty Party plates, bowls, and straws are available in Whole Foods retail stores and also at sustyparty.com. We offer a curated selection of other Susty-approved party supplies. We also have a commercial division, Sustyware, that sells compostable tableware in bulk to businesses and food service industry establishments.
Susty Party is a certified youth trade company and B Corporation. Our social, economic, environmental, and even spiritual values drive Susty Party to live our motto,
Respect Earth and Party On.
All right, we're back on Let's Eat In with Greg and Julie from O Milk, artisanal cashew, almond, and flavored milk. Yeah,
goodness.
Whatever. Goodness.
That's it.
So, I love having married couples on the show. I was telling you guys a little bit earlier that I started the show as a sort of a food and dating show and have interesting guests on, talk about yourself, but now, most importantly, talk about what you guys like to cook for a date meal.
Oh, man. If I could, I would probably eat mac and cheese every meal of my life, if that would sustain me. one of the things I love cooking with Greg the most, and this might be different from his opinion, but is we make homemade pasta together and sauce, and it's just such a fun, because it takes a while, and you get to do things in conjunction with one another. We have a hand roller pasta thingy.
The Marconi Atlas.
No, don't forget, we got the KitchenAid attachment.
Now we're fancy, but back in the day, we did not have a fancy one, and so he would hold it while I would roll it, and it was a fun bonding experience. And then, of course, food is always a great bonding experience. Mm-hmm. So that I think is my favorite date kind of meal. And I actually think that would probably make a very successful and impressive date meal for like a first date too.
Oh, yeah. I think that's true. And would you agree with that, Greg?
That's up there. Top three.
Top three.
Julie's a master oyster shucker too.
Oh, cool.
So that's always good. Oysters and lobster.
Yeah,
and
that's
and
fun.
Things
that
you break open.
That's sexy.
But no, she had never made homemade pasta before, but is Italian. And then we got together and I was like, let's make this. And within like half an hour of starting, she was better than me.
Yeah, it's
I think
in your blood.
It came out.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, and Greg is amazing at cooking Southeast Asian food, which is something
because he's Southeast Asian.
Yes.
Well, obviously.
Can't you tell? For everyone listening, I am absolutely Southeast Asian, as evidenced by my last name.
He's not. Okay.
So but really, really awesome food, like fried fish with like a chili sauce and things that I never had before I knew him.
Wow. That sounds fun. How did you get so adventurous with your cooking repertoire?
Well, I don't know. I really just like the flavors and wanted to replicate them.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that I don't want to denigrate my people, Irish, Polish, and German, but, you know, I don't have a lot of strong, you know, ethnic foods that my family made.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like I had this core that I always worked from. I just kind of figured that out on my own, what I wanted to make. I mean, we have a couple family recipes, but otherwise it was...
Yeah. You just learned on your own.
Yeah.
Cool. And what did you guys do before starting O Milk?
Well, I still do something else because we are a couple and need to, you know, we're right now in startup mode still, very, you know, a relatively small operation. So we're not really pulling... Yeah, money,
anything,
salaries from it. So I run membership for a trade association for online advertising. And that is what I do and continue to do during the day, and then start my night job at O Milk.
Wow,
nights and
cool.
Weekends.
So not a food industry background.
No. Originally publishing. I was an editor for the Taunton Press.
Mm-hmm.
Fine cooking comes out of there, and fine woodworking and things. But so that's the most of my background aside from just being an avid eater.
And how about you, Greg?
I did online marketing for a charity called Smile Train.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always done online marketing and design and stuff. So yeah, no food background either.
Wow. Cool.
Well, it makes a good combo though, because I ended up, I've done operations and finance and stuff, so I do a lot of that with O Milk, and Greg does the marketing and production, so it's a good pair. And we also like working. We met at work, actually.
Yeah.
So
yeah, heard trade association.
Can't seem to get enough of one another.
Well, that's lovely. And so who does most of the cooking, or not cooking, because you don't cook the nuts, the producing?
Well, I do production full time right now, and we're in the middle of some interviews to hire somebody
to
else
hire
to
people.
Do that. Yeah, we're job creators.
Yeah, baby.
Wow. So you make every single bottle?
Just I have my hands in every single bottle right now. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's a little weird. Do you? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, on, not in. Yeah.
It was always going to sound dirty from the beginning.
Yes, yeah, interview's doomed.
And you produce it in like right nearby.
Yeah,
here,
right nearby.
Actually,
we're over.
Brooklyn.
Yeah, East Williamsburg.
Is it a shared facility?
No, we were really fortunate. The guys from Kings County Jerky, mm-hmm. Robert, had us come and, you know, just chat with him about his space. And he said, well, why don't you see if the building has any more units? Because they're these little
commercial
units.
Kitchen units.
No, they're not. Oh. They're raw. They're totally raw.
Okay.
And he said, you know, why don't you just see? Because they're really lax about renovating.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they had one. It was like 600 square feet. And we jumped at it and had it renovated really, you know, just as little as we could do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ripped up the old
because you don't
floor.
Have to do much cooking.
We don't cook.
You need
it's
the,
a lot of water.
Right.
It's a lot of water, and you know, put tile down for the water, and
you grind up the nuts there. Interesting, but you have to have a lot of storage room for the milks when they're done, for fridges.
Yes,
we have a lot of fridges, and we have some really great relationships with some small farms in California who we buy a large amount of nuts from, who store them for us and ship them in smaller quantities.
Oh, that's great.
So, but you know, of course, we can't be there forever. We'll have to, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully, you know, you'll all go out and try Om Milk, get addicted, and then our business will continue to grow and we'll get something, you know, bigger.
Yeah. And just curious, since we're hearing so many stories about other artisanal food makers in Brooklyn who had unfortunate things happen to their inventory, did you prepare anything at your, or like, you know, set up any sort of blocks in your facility prior to the storm?
No, I mean,
because of the situation where it was geographically situated.
Or? Yeah, I mean, we were really lucky, first of all, that nothing happened, but we make all the product to order, so we didn't have any product sitting there that could go bad it only lasts 8 days. So everything is made to order. We are producing today for deliveries tonight and store deliveries in the morning. And so there was no bottles in the fridge.
It's like out the window as soon as you make it.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
That's the labor intensiveness of mm-hmm.
Time-sensitiveness. Yeah.
And we're committed to it because it enhances the flavor and it's what makes it different.
Right. And it's interesting in this case, something that seems very cumbersome and difficult to do worked out in your favor.
Yeah.
I mean,
we, you know, for the longest time when we started, we were peeling the almonds by hand
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. it makes a big difference in the flavor
to not have that peel.
Yeah. And until we got our peeler, it was, you know,
there is an almond peeler.
There is. And we were lucky to find kind of a slim one from Italy, as opposed to these giant,
yeah.
like, you know, size
machines.
Of this coffee table here.
It's like
from
the Ferrari of almond peelers.
Nice.
So hot. Yeah. but yeah, we've evolved. We do a lot more, you know, with machinery and ways that we can, you know, make more milk faster because we're still committed to having it be made to order and fresh.
Cool. And but still the same recipe, it sounds like, from
recipe.
That homemade version that you made a long time.
Oh yeah, okay. We're not going to deviate from what I said earlier is really curated flavor and healthfulness. We're not mm-hmm. going to deviate from that, but just find, you know, better, faster ways of getting it done so that we can get to more stores and more people.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why I didn't ask this before. I may have asked this in person, but any other types of nuts that you're going to try out, tinker around with?
Yeah, it's sort of always on the back burner to do like a hazelnut or a Brazil nut, but we just...
Because they would work, right?
Yeah,
would.
Yeah.
I mean,
totally.
Yeah, people do them. There's recipes for them online. I think the goal right now is to try and saturate them more. I mean, just from a pure business perspective,
yeah,
to
not
try
go
to
crazy
do
with
as
flavors.
Much market mm-hmm. saturation as we can now and then always grow more.
Yeah, once we can, you know, already we still have quite a big home delivery business because we're not in enough stores to make it an accessible product for all of New York. And we really are focused on making sure that we can get to everyone in New York City and, you know, and beyond, hopefully to the tri-state area before we start to kind of tinker around with exciting more you know, new flavors and things. Yeah.
Well, that is so cool. And how can folks get a home delivery? They just go to your website, shoot you an email.
Yep. omilknyc.com.
Check out that site, and for the next few weeks, do check them out at Brooklyn Flea while you can. Thanks so much, guys, for coming on the show.
Thank you,
I really appreciate the time, and good luck with the batches tonight. And thanks, everyone at Heritage. We'll see you next week on Let's Eat In.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.